this is called Gimel, the bottom of the page.
Page, Amud Aleph.
Right,
Mishnah,
the very bottom of the page. Correct. Right. Okay. All right, so it says again, as I was saying.
Okay.
Kol chai vei krisa shalokum, niptul yidei krisasam. In other words, if a person should have received the penalty of kores by the heavenly court, because he committed one of those sins that are specified that the punishment is kores for. Okay? And instead, what happened? They got malchus. So in that case, niftaru yidei krisasam. They are then, the penalty of kores is lifted from them by virtue of the fact that they got malchus. Now, how is that derived? So it's derived by an interpretation of the pasuk. Shenema, remember it says in reference to getting malchus, ben niklo achichli enecha, namely that your brother shall be shamed or disgraced, whichever way you want to take it, right? In your eyesight. Okay. So, kishaloko, which as you can see, looks something like the word nikla, in other words, from the moment that he got malchus, so harehu kiochicha, then he becomes your brother. In other words, once you've got malchus, and that rectifies the situation, and
he's
you have to consider
himself
right, he's welcome home again. Exactly. Now, of course, question is whose opinion this is. So it says Divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. So since they quoted him already here in the Mishnah, so they quote him a little bit further. V'yomer Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. And another thing that Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel said, he says this of course is in order to prove the point. Okay, he says Ma im oiver avera achas lo til nafshu aleho. If you commit even one avera, and yet you can forfeit your soul because of it, ha'osa mitzvah achas. If a person performs a mitzvah, then ala achas kama v'chama shetinosim l'nafshe. Then certainly, all the more so, that his soul will be given to him. In other words, he'll be granted, you know, God's favor, by virtue of the fact that he does a mitzvah. Okay? Let's take a look so far at what the Rashi has to say over there, at the bottom over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It says, Alachas kama v'chama shetudas l'nafshu. He says, why? So Rashi says, the midah toiva meruba memidas peronis. Because the quality of goodness is much greater than the quality of punishment. In other words, Rabbeinu Shalom himself would much rather give you favor and blessing and so on than to punish you. And this, of course, we derive, you know, from Sukkim. It says, to what extent is, you know, God's goodness or God's favor greater than his punishment? It says, Echad bechamesh meyos. He says, it's like 500 to 1. The bemidas puranus, because when it comes, you know, to talking about punishment, ksiv, the Torah says, of course, this is in reference to the Ten Commandments over there, where it says, poiked avon avos albonim, right, al shileshim al rebeim, that God literally visits or punishes, right, the sins of the parents on the children, even to the third and to the fourth generation, right? But of a midah tova, when it comes to the quality of goodness, ksiv, the pasuk then continues and it says, osa chesed la'alofim, right? That God does his loving kindness, his favor, even to the thousands of generations. Metargaminin la'alfin dore. And we translate la'alofim, see, it doesn't say for how much, it simply says unto the thousands, right? But the Targum says the alfin dore, for thousands of generations, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the word, you know, la'alofim, it wasn't explained what. So this we know from the Targum Onkelos that we're talking about thousands of generations. Well, who will be the reward of those who do good? Mm-hmm. So, if this is the case, he says, Arbo Doros, it's four generations in the case of doing evil, right? Geneged alpayim doros, opposite or in contrast to 2,000 generations. Okay, so that's the case. I mean, of course, you have to remember that if you have a word like alofim, we always have a a rule in making a drash on the Gemara that if you have a plural form, then it has to be at least two. Has to be at least two. Otherwise, what would it be plural, right?
It's singular.
So that's why it says four generations, opposite alpayim doros. That's the way you really have to read over here. Opposite, or in contrast to 2,000 generations. So if that's the case, four, right? Well, let's put it this way: 2,000 divided by four, right? So haynu echad mechamesh meyos, right? So this gives us one versus 500. Okay. Miyot la'alofim eino pachas mishnei alofim. As I said just a moment ago, the least amount of plural that you can have cannot be less than two, right? The kol shekein, and all the more so, right? Im kivshuto the mashma alofim atzof kol adoros. And if he said, and Rashi says, and if we take it literally, then alofim would be for thousands and thousands of generations, not simply 2,000 generations, but for thousands and thousands of generations. So the good that we do will be rewarded not only unto us, but also unto our descendants and their descendants and their descendants and all future generations to come. Now the Mishnah continues. It's on the last line over there. It says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, do you have the place over there?
Yes, I
have. All right. Yes. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, Mimkomo Hulame. Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? He says, we can learn this not on simply on the basis of, you know, giving a drash, you know, but we have, you can figure it out directly from the context in which the whole thing occurs. Now, what is, as we would say, the, to use a fancy word, the locus, in other words, the place, the principal place where we find the punishment of Kores mentioned. Okay? So the answer is, it's of course at the end of Parsha Achrimos, where we find over there, if you remember the various arroyos, in other words, you're not allowed to have relations with this one, that one, the other thing, because it's considered, you know, it's a prohibited
relationship,
right? And there we find that the idea of Kores is found. Dichsif. Pasuk says, okay, Shenemar, the Nichrisu had the Foshos Osos, right? It says that those souls, or those people, in other words, who do these abominable acts, will be cut off, the Nichrisu. Now, of course, what are the abominable acts that they were talking about? As we said, it's in reference to the various arroyos, the various prohibited relationships that are mentioned, all right? So this is like a general summary. What is the punishment for all the various types of violations of this type of sin? The answer is Kores, right? The Omer, and then we have another pasuk, and this, of course, is just before, in the preface paragraph, which says, "Asher yase oisem ha'odom v'chai bahem," right? Which, if a person does these things, then he shall live by them, or he shall be given life by them. Okay? So, let's take a look at the Rashi again, and then we'll continue with the rest of this Mishnah, etc. Okay? The bottom of the page, Dichsiv. So, Rashi explains, he says, Achar kol ha'royos, right? After all the mention of the prohibited relationships, it's written, v'nichrisu hanefoshes, ho'osos, right? Those souls that do these things, they will be cut off. So, harei chayev kores ala nirshal behen. So, from this we see that the punishment is kores for anyone who stumbles in, you know, by violating these rules, okay? Then it says, "V'nosam chayim," but by the same token, the Torah implies that it gives life the moneya uvodeh behem, to the person who withholds himself from doing these things. If you don't do it, then you're going to get the reward of life, right? Dichsir, as the Pasuk says, Kodem ha'royos, you know, before we come to the passage of the Aroyos, it says, Ushmartem es hukosai v'es mishpotai, that if you observe my statutes, my ordinances, and so on, Asher yase osam ha'odom v'chai bohem, which, if a person does them, right, then he shall find life with them. V'somach lei, and then, following it, we have ish ish al kol she'er b'saro, you know, any man who violates the you know, having by having relations with someone who is close to him, you know, by blood, right? Not just blood; it could also be through marriage, of course, right? The mashma, which where the implication is, misha osechu kosai, he who observes my statutes, anino sin chayim lo, right? I give him life. The Elohein chukosai. And these are my statutes, and then we have this list, ishish, and so on. So from this you learn, that whoever does not do these things, he is going to be rewarded by having life. Okay? Now, that's what we have in the Gemara, but he quoted it already. It says, right? If a person sits, literally, of course, by sits means, you know, that he doesn't do anything, right? Below Ovar Avera, and he has not, you know, transgressed, you know, violated, committed a sin, then Nosanai Sochor Kyosa Mitzvah. Then he gets reward, even as one who performs a mitzvah. Actually, what we're saying over here is simply this. We're saying that, you know, there are two different approaches to having, you know, to receiving reward for right action, right? One of them is to actually go out and do a mitzvah. And of course, if you do a mitzvah, there's no question, we already said, I mean, that you're going to get reward. The Bnei Shalom will give you chayim, he'll give you eternal life for it. Okay. But what happens if a person, you know, simply does nothing, he does not violate any, you know, he does not transgress against any of the prohibitions or anything like that. So we see that for that too, you get a reward. And the reward is also chayim. Now, maybe we could argue that, you know, doing a mitzvah is a greater action and therefore you get a greater reward. All right, that's up to the Bnei Shalom to decide how much the measure of reward is going to be. But nevertheless, by not transgressing, this by itself is also a good action which deserves the gift of eternal life from the Bnei Shalom. Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Omer says, Hare hu Omer, behold, it is written, Rak Chazak, be strong, he says, Levilti achol es hadam, not to eat the blood, okay? Ki hadom hu hanefesh, because blood is it's in the blood that we find the soul of the behema, okay? Ma im hadom shenafsho shel olam kotzo mimeno. So, madoch, as we would say, if in the case of blood, where a person actually feels a sense of disgust at having even, you know, contemplating the idea of eating blood, right? A poresh b'meno mekabel sachar, a person who, you know, literally he separates himself. In other words, he does not eat the blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get reward for it, even though it's so disgusting by itself that he probably it would never occur to him even to do it. So, gezel v'aroyos, actions of thievery, right, or committing adultery in the various forms, shenafshu shalodim misaveh lohen, where very often human beings unfortunately have a great lust for them, right? Umachmatan, and you know, and they would really love to do these things. because, you know, I mean, stealing makes you wealthier, right? And of course, in our own sexual age today, where there's so much free sex around, we can understand the other business about the arroyos. So, but nevertheless, haparish mehen alachatz kam v'chama sheyiske lo dorosav lo doros dorosav atzov kol ha'doros. The person refrains from violating any of these things, then all the more so that he not only will be zeicha for himself, in other words, he will merit for himself life, but also the dorosov for his generations, the doros dorosov and the generations of generations, atzov kol ha'doros to the very end of time. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then the very famous quotation ends the Mishnah over here at Makos. Why do I say it's a famous quotation? Because, as you know, in the summertime, when we say Pirkei Avos, right? So it's always preceded by first a quotation taken from the Mishnah of Sanhedrin, where it says, "Kol Yisrael Shon Chedek Lebahavu," right? All Israel has a share of the world to come. And then when we conclude the chapter that we're studying in Pirkei Avos, we say the following. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Omer, right? He says, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted to make Israel worthy. L'fichach hirbo lehem teyom nitzvah shenema. This is the reason why he gave them so many, so much teaching the Torah and so many mitzvahs to perform. In other words, with every action, we create for ourselves more and more merit, right? And this is why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave us all these various rules, the Chukim, the Mishpatim, etc., etc., and gave us so much to learn. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, it's the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, where it says, Hashem chafes teman tzidko, God desired, for the sake of his own righteousness, Yagdil Torah v'yadir, to make the Torah great and mighty. Okay. So, take a look at the Rashi for this. Pardon me?
Am I correct to say that's in one of the haftors we had the last?
Yes, absolutely right. As a matter of fact, we're going to be reading it this Shabbos. Except that we're not going to read it this Shabbos.
Right.
Why? Because we're not going to read the haftorah for Shabbos Bereishis, since it's Mocha Chedesh.
Right.
So Mocha Chedesh takes precedence. But you're absolutely right. It's in the haftorah for Shabbos Bereishis. Hashem chafes man zikho yavol ter v'yadir. Okay. All right. Rashi, the last one, Zakos is Israel, right? It says God wanted to give merit to the people of Israel, Kadeshi Makabim Tzchar, in order that they might be able to receive reward, Ameh Shemon and Atzben and Averis, in that they refrain from committing sins. So the Ficha, for that reason, Yirbalahen, he gave them so many, he gave them, you know, many, many mitzvahs, Shelo Hayotzorech Nitzavos, Kame Mitzvahs, Kame Atzvahs, Al Shkotzim, and the Velos, right? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't really have to give so many commandments and so many warnings that we should not, for example, eat all kinds of different Shkotzim. You know, the different creeping creatures and so on and so forth, you know, which are prohibited to us, or unavelos, that we're not allowed to eat, you know, animals that are
depraved
and so on and so forth. She'ein lecho odom she'einu kotz b'hem, because you don't have a person who is not, he doesn't feel, you know, disgust with them. By the veil, of course, when I say treif, but I don't really mean treif. The veil in its actual sense means an animal which, let's say, yes, it dies from disease and things like that and so on. Okay? So this is what he means. And so normally, you know, if we know that the animal's disease, we certainly wouldn't want to have any part of it.
Right.
Yet, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us, don't eat it, because he wants us to have the merit of being able to observe the mitzvah. Ela kadeshi kabla schar, right? Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave all these different instructions to us so that we should receive reward. Al shepor shel mehen, in that we refrain we separate ourselves from committing, you know, these various transgressions. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. Now, Gemara begins by saying, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Chalukin alof chavir v'harabi Chananya ben Gamliel. He says, you know, not everybody is in agreement with Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. What did Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel say in the Mishnah? He said, remember that if you get Malchus, then you're absolved from Christus. That's what he said, right? So in other words, the implication is that there are those who disagree with this point of view. As a matter of fact, we had it a little bit earlier, and we saw that not all the authorities agreed with this. And I don't know if you remember who they were, but if you take a look, he says, he doesn't mention it. All right. But one of them is, for example, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that you can get both Malchus and Kores. And he justified it on the basis, you know, that one doesn't exclude the other, because they're dealing for two different aspects. It's not a case of double jeopardy, according to him, but, you know, you deserve Kores because you violated, and you also deserve Malchus because of the violation.
Okay.
So not everybody, as we saw, agreed with it, because the opinion of, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel was, if you get one, then you're absolved from the other. Okay? So, Omer Ravon Abar Ravon, Abar Ravon said, Amrei Be Rav, that they say in the school of Rav, Tanina. Hey, we learn what? There is a Mishnah in Megillah which says, Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom HaKippurim, says there is no difference in the laws concerning Shabbos and Yom Kippur, that is, in the laws about violation of Shabbos or Yom Kippur, Ela, except for one thing, Shezeh Zedona Bidei Odom, that if you violate Shabbos, of course it's understood, you're doing it Zodon. Zodon, remember, means that you're doing it with full knowledge that you're violating it, okay? And you've been warned, and it still persists, you know, that's what we say, amazing, right? So if you do that, then the punishment would be Bidei Adam. In other words, what is the punishment according to the Torah? The person who violates the Shabbos can be penalized with skin, okay? With stoning, okay? But in other words, it means that a human court can punish you for that. The Zez don't know, but for the violation of Yom Kippur, what is the penalty? It says be a Kores. There, the penalty is Kores. In other words, your soul is cut off. But who does that? That's only the heavenly court. So, in that particular case, this obviously would not be in agreement with whom? With the statement that Adav Arava just said, right? I mean, with the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that, you know, they disagree with Chananya ben Gamliel, because, okay, so the question is, how do we resolve this, okay? The Im Isa, Idi v'Idi b'dei Odom, and if we say that both, in other words, the violation for both Shabbos and also Yom Kippur is b'dei Odom, in other words, that you should get Malchus, right? For it, B'nai Adamhus. So in that case, I mean, it's a contradiction to what we said, Ein Bein, that the basic difference as far as punishment for violation of Yom Kippur, for Yom Kippur as compared to Shabbos, is that with Yom Kippur the penalty is Kores. Okay. Rav Nachman Omer, when it says Ha'amani, he says, in that case, so who is the author of that statement? So he says, Rabbi Yitzchok. It's Rabbi Yitzchok, the Omar, who says, Malchus v'chai v'krisus leka. He says that Malchus cannot exist among those who are penalized with Kores, right? The Tanya, as we learned, and this we had before, Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, that Rabbi Yitzchok said, Chayvei Krisus, Bichlal Hayu. says those who deserve krisis really should also have been included among those who get
malchus.
Right. The loma yotzos koris ba'chayse. So in that case, why does the Torah in that, you know, in that chapter where it deals with the various haroyos, state specifically in the case of a person, let's say, who has relations with a sister, that the penalty is koris? We know b'nichrusor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's laduno b'koris for loma malchus. It's in order to tell us that the punishment is koris and not malchus. So this is Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. In other words, then we would have to say that the Mishnah that says that if you get malchus, then you, you know, the penalty of koris is lifted from you, there would have to be an agreement with him, right?
Right?
Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi said, Afilu Teimor Rabbonon, says, even if you say that the rabbis, you know, that they're in disagreement and say that you could have, you know, both penalties. So he says, Zeh Ikar Zedona B'nei Odom, Zeh Ikar Zedona B'nei Shemayim. Says that we're talking about over here that we have to figure out where will the eventual punishment come, the principal punishment, the ikar, for this violation.
Is that a Yiddish word, so ikar?
Yeah, it's a Hebrew word. It's part of the Yiddish vocabulary. Yeah, the ikar, right? It means the principal point, right?
What's the ikar?
Right.
Make
right.
A point.
Not really means
make
root.
A point.
Yeah, but it means like principal point, right? So he says ikar is a doinoi, right? If you are amazed, then in case of Shabbos, primarily your punishment should be what? Bidei Odom, mm-hmm. Right? Whereas Zeikar is doinu bidei Shemayim. In the case of Yom Kippur, it is in the hands of heaven. That's where the principal punishment should be. Omerav alo baravo, Omerav, so he says, Halacha k'Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. He says that the halacha taka follows Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. In other words, that if you get malchus, then you're absolved from chorus. Omer Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, Man solikul ilo. Tell me, who went upstairs, in other words, to the sky, to heaven, right? The also, the Omar. And, you know, he came back and he told us what? That the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's court decided to absolve a person from chorus. Who did that? Whoever did it. So Abaye said to him, Elohodom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hey, he says, don't you know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said the following? He says, Shlosha devorim osu bezdin shel mato, yiskimu bezdin shel malo ad yodom. There are three cases where the court down below, in other words, the human court, made a decision, right? And then the Beis Din up in heaven agreed with the decision made by it. So again, he asked the same question: Man Solik Lehelo, the Osa V'Yomar. So, yeah, did anybody go up to heaven and then come back and tell us that this is the case, right? So he says, Ela Karai Kodoshin. But rather, we derive this idea, you know, about these three cases from Sukkim. Not from a visit to heaven and reporting back, okay? So he says, Ochinami, Karai Kodoshinen. So he said, yeah, okay, so the same thing as far as, you know, the business with Koris and Malchus is concerned. Pardon me? Pasuk, right.
Pasuk is a verse. Pasuk could be a decision.
Pasuk means that we have.
What is the Pasuk?
Yeah, we'll come to it. We'll come to it, okay? Because now he's going to quote it. He's going to quote it now, so we'll see what he's referring to. Pardon me?
46.
We're on 46, yeah. Okay. So now he says, Gufa. All right. Now, let's get back, I mean, and find out what exactly is being said over here, right? So Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Shlosha devorim osa besin shalmato, v'iskimim besin shalmalo ayodim, right? That there are three cases where the human court made a decision and the celestial court agreed with them. And these are the three cases. One is Mikra Megillah, another one is Sheila Shalom B'Shem, and the third one is Taboris Baiser. Okay. Mikra Megillah, of course, we know means to read the Megillah. Okay? And Sheila Shalom means that when you greet somebody, you say, may God bless you, or something like that. Okay? Problem over there, of course, would be what? You might think that we're taking God's name in vain by saying, you know, God bless you. So, like this, right, and we know that it's perfectly correct to do so, and it's not a violation of God's name. And the third case, we'll see exactly what is involved with bringing Baiser. Okay? All right, because now he goes into these various things. All right. First case we said is about Mikra Megillah, right? Reading in the Megillah. It says, Dichsiv. There's a pasuk in Megillah's Esther which says, Kiyamu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. Literally, it means that the Jews made, you know, the following decision, so to speak, and they took it upon themselves to observe. But what is the drash? Drash from the Gemara Megillah is Kiyamu l'malo, that the heavenly court confirmed. This is really what Kiyamu means, right? The heavenly court confirmed Masha kiblu l'mata, what they had accepted. In other words, what the court down below had accepted, namely that it is a mitzvah to read the Megillah. Of course, that brings us into another area which I'll simply touch upon for a moment. You know, of course, that as we're about to perform a mitzvah, what do? We make a brocha asher k'dushon mitzvusav the tivanu al whatever it may be, right? Okay, we say we praise God, you know, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to do this and this. So, okay? So, normally, the mitzvah itself is written in the Torah. As for example, we said al mitzvah lulav, right? Sivonu al netilas lulav, take the lulav. Well, it says specifically, you know, kafta nochemai mishon, etc., etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or asher yisham son leishay basukah, to sit in the sukkah. And again, we know that you know the Torah says basukah is teishu shivas yomim and so on. Okay. So we have a specific mitzvah that's written. Now the same thing, for example, al mitzvah sitzis, let's say. Okay. Well, the Sate Patsitsis or something like that. I mean, both of them are referring to the same mitzvah, namely, you know, that.
Wearing tzitzis.
Right, the Rebbe Shalom told us to put on tzitzis and so on. Tefillin. Where do we have the commandment to put on tefillin? The answer is four passages in the Torah speak about the commandment, right? Shatom Yos Hayotech, Avoid Tatos Deinef, etc., etc. So, these commandments are all written in the Torah. However, we do have a few commandments excuse me, that fall into the category of mitzvahs d'rabbanan. In other words, the rabbis came along and decided that this was also a mitzvah to perform. So one of them is Mikra Megillah, reading the Megillah. Yes.
Now, is this part of the Taryag? Taryag, is this part of what?
Technically, Rambam? It's not part of the Taryag.
Is it part of what Rambam?
This would be added. Would be added
to it. Okay.
It's more like an addendum. Okay.
Okay. Fine. Great.
Because the Taryag, reality, every one of them finds a source in the Torah itself. Okay. But these are mitzvahs the Rabban. You know, there was some question, for example, among some of the earlier authorities, as to whether we should even say, you know, Asher Gisham Sosavet Tzivonu in connection with these. But nevertheless, we came to the decision that we do. So that this is one of them, the reading of the Megillah. And of course, there is a pasuk for that, and what is the pasuk? In Hokim of Kibbo. But remember, it's not in the Torah, it's in the Tanakh. You understand? It's in the Tanakh, but not in the Torah itself, so that therefore they had to create you know, the fact that this too is in the spirit of the mitzvah to rise. Okay? It's in the spirit of it. Yes.
have another question.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm familiar with Pasuk as being verse, and Pasak as being a decision. Like
correct,
Pasak
correct. Right.
But in the usage here, when you say Pasuk, what are you referring to?
Pasuk means that we have a verse in the Torah.
Just Pasuk, okay.
Yeah,
right.
That means a verse, period, that's
okay.
All.
Okay.
I say Pasuk, this is the Yiddish way of
saying it.
Pasuk. Pasuk would be the...
How would you say it again? How do you say Pasuk? No,
in Ashkenazi, you pronounce
pasuk,
it.
Pasuk.
Look, if I were to be a dark take in Ashkenazi, I would say pasuk.
Pasuk, because you can hear it.
Yeah, okay. But you know, Yiddish pronunciation has a tendency mostly to stress the first syllable and not
pasuk.
The last.
Pasuk.
You say a pasuk. Yeah.
Pasukim.
Pasukim. Right. Pasukim.
How would you say in Yiddish?
Or in Yiddish, pasukim.
Sukim.
Right. You see, you notice, I mean, that Yiddish likes to stress not the last syllable, but the next to the last syllable, so to speak. Okay?
Are you saying that, therefore, this is not. What you, these three, the three, arrows, so to speak.
No. These three commandments.
Commandments, rather.
Okay.
If you violate them, what punishment do you get then?
Frankly, you would deserve Malkus for it. Not Chorus, but
not
Malkus.
Chorus.
Right.
We're
why
not,
Malkus?
Not hearing
because
the Megillah.
No, you're not going to get Malkus for not hearing the Megillah. But if you deliberately deny that there is any commandment, you know, to that, you know, to read the Megillah, and you refuse to do it or anything like that, and so on and so forth. So theoretically, you could get Malkus, but not Malkus for violating the law of the Torah, but Malkus because you violate, you know, community standards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a type which is called Malkus Martus. In other words, you act in a rebellious way against what is for the good of the community, and in that case they could give you
clap.
They could give you a clap in order to put you on the right path and to reestablish the discipline of the community. There is such a thing, okay? It's not covered over here in the Gemara because of the fact that
the
Gemara is interested, right? Okay. So that's case number one. By the way, I wanted to give you a few examples where we do it. Two others that come to mind immediately is lighting candles on Shabbos and Yom Tov and so on. I mean, the lighting of the candles, okay? Adlakat Haneros. Where in the Torah does it say that you should light candles? It doesn't. The only place that says to light candles, you know, for the Kohen Gadol, he had to write the menorah in the Mishnah Mikdash.
Yeah.
But that didn't apply to the home. But, you know, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the basic reason why we have light in our homes on Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis. So that people will be able to live a good, healthy, and happy, normal life on Shabbos and their
peaceful
homes.
Life.
Yeah. This is the basic reason. And still, I mean, you know that, you know, when you benched Licht, you say, Asher Yisham, it's the one who Ligner, Shel, whatever. And then, of course, you know, Hanukkah too is another one. After all, Hanukkah happened, you know, even later than Purim did. And still, you know, the sages decided, you know, that they wanted to make the lighting of Hanukkah candles also a mitzvah for Jews to observe. So that's why it's introduced by Lahadik Neyoshel, Hanukkah, and so on. Okay? So those are three commandments, which, while not specifically mentioned in the Torah, because, as I indicated, you know, they came after the time of the five books of
Moses. Well, would this be part of the Tariq Mitzvahs?
Pardon me?
Part of the 613 Mitzvahs?
No. No, you can't really consider them as part of the 613.
So it's in addition to that.
It's an addition, right. That's why I call them mitzvahs the Rabbanon rather than mitzvahs the Raisa, let's say, okay? Mitzvahs the Torah command.
What was
okay.
The approximate time of Purim? 350 BCE or 400 BCE?
No, it's closer to about 500 BCE.
500,
like
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
500 to 450, something like that, in that area. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, that brings us back again to what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, right? He says that there were three things that the Bezdin down below ordained, and the Beis Din up above, they approved of. And the first thing that he mentioned is Mikra Megillah, and for this he quotes the verse, Kiyemu v'kiblu aleihem, right? That Kiyemu l'mala, that the Beis Din up above accepted, confirmed what the Beis Din Shalmata, decided to do. Okay?
Alright,
now what is the next one that is mentioned? So the next one that we mentioned is She'el HaShalom B'Shem, right? In other words, to greet a person and use God's name in the greeting. So we have a pasuk for that. Or shall we say we have pesukim that illustrate that this is a correct form of conduct. Okay? What are these pesukim? So the first pasuk that they quote over here, Dichsir, by the way, this is in also the Brochus, we have this. It's written over there, Yivihinei Boaz Bo Mebeis Lechem, right? In the book of Ruth, it says, and behold, Boaz was coming from Beit Lechem, right? Vayomel HaKotzrim, and he said to the reapers, Hashem Imochem, may God be with you. What's not quoted over here is that they answered likewise. What did they say to him? They said to him, Yivarechecho Hashem, may God bless you. Right. So we see that even though the name of God was used, it was not a case that it was being used in vain. Okay? The Yomer, not only that, but we have another case. This is the case in the story of Gideon, where an angel appears unto him and he greets him by saying, Hashem imcho gibor achayel, God be with you, O man of valor, so to speak, almighty hero, right? What you don't answer over there is not so nice, but that's besides the point. Because he started to complain, he says, you know, if God is with me, then why do we have so much sorrows and so on? But then the angel told him, you know, to go out and to lead the Jews to victory over the enemy. But that was his job, right?
Is that what he asked for the sign that it's sent?
Yeah, right, right. He commanded signs also to make sure that. Right, exactly. Right, but they don't quote that. All that they're interested in quoting is the fact that the angel said, "Hashem imcho gibor achayel." So, what does it prove? It says, "My the Omer, why do we have to have another pasuk if we already had the business about Boaz?" Right. So, why do they have to bring this? So he says, "Vachitemo Boaz hu the Ovid Midate." Right. Maybe you might think that what Boaz did, he did only on his own, without what? Without heavenly approval, right? Right? And from heaven they did not agree with what he had done. So Toshma, this is the reason why we have another quote which says, the Omer, right, says, Hashem Imcha Gibor HaChayel, right? God is with you, O mighty warrior. In other words, if an angel says also Hashem Imcha, so it proves that the Beis Din up in heaven also agrees with what the Beis Din down below, namely what Gideon did. It was perfectly legitimate. Okay. Now, how about Havos Meiser, the bringing of Meiser? What is involved over here? All right. So first of all, they quote, so Pasuk in Malachi, very last chapter in the prophets, incidentally, where it's written, "Dechsev Hoviu es kol maaser el beis ho'etzor," bring all the miser, all the tithes, right, to the storehouse, the heat terrap of AC, and let there be food in my house. Of course, he's talking about the temple, okay? Mm-hmm. The temple. Bring your tithes to the temple, let there be food in my house, so that's in the holy temple. Obviously, for what purpose? In order to take care of the Kahanim, the Levim, and so on, right? And test me even in this way, Omar Hashem's voice. Im lo eftach lochem sarubos hashamayim. You'll see that I will open up for you the windows of heaven, varikosi lochem brochad blidai, and I will pour out unto you blessing, literally without any end, or you'll never have enough of it. Okay. And it says, my ad belidai. What is the meaning of the last words, ad belidai? So he says, Omar Romi Barav, Ad sheyivlu sivsaseichem elohim adai. You know, the beli literally means without, right? But beli is also related to the Hebrew word bole, which means to wither away. So, in other words, he says, your lips will get weary, okay, of saying enough, enough, because the Rebbeinu Shalom will keep on giving them bracha, 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 bracha. So you'll get tired of saying die, 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 because the Rebbeinu Shalom will keep on giving you all these blessings. Okay. So, what is the idea over here about the
Bila is extinguished, or the Bila can be extinguished, the Valaya, or the Chabot, the Kiba, but Bila you can't use, no, Bila is just to fade away.
Right, for example, Novel Tzitz, right, the flower fades away. So that's from this root, okay? Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at Rashi for a little while over here. I don't want to neglect him, okay? Okay. So let's get back again to the Rashi over there. Right. Okay. Well, it starts with the Gemara. We have plenty of Rashi to review what we've done so far, okay? On the fourth line over there. Yeah. Says Tanina, we learned, he says, Maseches Megillah in Bein Shabbos Levein HaKippurim, right? There's no difference between Shabbos and Kippurim, except that, you know, violating it deliberately in the one case is, you know, Bidei Odom, and the other one is Bidei Shemayim, okay? Is by Behi Koreis. So what is Behi Koreis? Because usually we say, you know, Koreis or Krisus or something like that, right? In other words, it shall be surely cut off. The Enu Shem, though, it says not a noun, the Hikores, but it's really a verbal idea. Okay? In other words, that the punishment is by being cut off. Okay. So it says, Homas this in the Megillah, he says, Rabbi Yitzchok, Ulahochiko, Mardizodon Kores, Bidei Shemayim, Bidei Odom. Right? That Rabbi Yitzchok is the one who said that, you know, the violation deliberately for Yom Kippur is Kores, right, and not by human beings. Avol man dispirulei de malchus yikabachai vekrisus. But if, in accordance with the opinion of those who say that you get both malchus
and
krisus, so murder Rabbi Hananya, he says the nifteru de krisusan kevan shaloku. Nevertheless, they will agree. He says that if they are already given malchus, then in that particular case, they will be excused from kores.
They
agree. Yes. But I need Rabbi Yochanan's opinion to tell us that there is still a disagreement among authorities. He says the Amrei Chayve Krisus Yeshlem Bichlal Malchus. We find that there are rabbis in Gemara and Megillah who say that those who are deserving of krisus also deserve the penalty of malchus avoyim. Va'afilo hochi, but nevertheless, modal Rabbi Chananya deniftaru b'nei krisusam. Nevertheless, they'll still agree that if they got malchus, then they're potter. With the ka'amrit miso v'koreis b'dei odom, who lo domi. And they say there is an opinion that says that death and kores, that both of these are given over to human beings. It says that you cannot say that. It says because principally the punishment for violation of Shabbos deliberately should be by a human court. The kai v'skila, because the punishment is skila. The yikar onshu shal yom kippurim. Whereas the principal punishment for violation of Yom Kippur deliberately should be b'dei shemayim, by, you know, in the hands of heaven. The Apal Gav, the Iko Chiyuv Malchus b'chayvei krisus, that even though there may be
you know, the fact that you're exposed, you know, to a penalty of malchus and krisis. So eino ikar achi of the kores chomim malchus. So the penalty of the kores is not more than malchus. This is what it says here, but actually there are those who disagree with this opinion. The ye mazit b'leyas ra, who, right? Now, if he does something deliberately without, you know, being warned that it's wrong, so heavy b'kores, then we know that he gets kores, you know, for the violation of these things, right? V'nim so chiyuvu ha'chomor b'dei shamayim. And we find that the penalty in his case, which is a more severe penalty, is really kores. It's more severe than what? Than malchus. V'anan bosar ikar achiv asin. We go according to what the main idea of punishment should be. All right. Mori. Mori means, this is what Rashi told me, okay? The yistafar she'ikos deinet chilosei bar kores hu. And there are those who gave a different interpretation. It says that the zodain, first he should be liable to kores, the ilo lo loki, and if he doesn't get malchus, then the kores, right. The loni hero says, but this I don't agree with. Okay. Anyway, let's go on to the next one. It says, mikro megillah, the chayovim al mikro megillah, that, you know, we have to read the megillah. This we already said. The shela shalom b'shem, it says, the mutal odom, it is permitted to a person, the shalom chaveru b'shem, to ask a person in fields, in other words, and to use God's name and saying, how are you? I hope that God bless you, and so on and so forth, right? Kigon yosim ad Hashem olecho shalom. As, for example, may God give you peace, right? V'yein bo mishum motzi shem shemayin v'atola. And this does not involve using God's name in vain. Meirav, this I learned from Rashi, my rabbi, right? Lishnachlino, another possibility to interpret it, it says, she'ela sholom b'shem, the chayav odom l'shol b'shlom chavir b'shem. Before he said, there's no penalty if you do it. But another opinion says that it's a mitzvah, so to speak, to say God bless you or something like that. Okay?
But in the Pirkei Avot, which is not it's not a chok, but isn't one, I forget, one of the rabbanim says, you know, lichi al tarishon.
Yeah, they mark the mishlom kolodim, right? Be the first to greet somebody, this, right?
So what's the pronunciation for the name? Hashem or Hashem?
Well, I'll tell you. If you want to be technical, I suppose it would be Hashem. But nobody says that. Everybody says Hashem.
Hashem is an Arab
name. What?
An Arab name. I heard that the Arabs call Hashem.
Hashem is.
Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how common it is, but of course the Jordanian king is a descendant of Hashem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hashem.
Yeah.
Hashem.
Yeah.
So which Tana was it that said this?
I think it was Masi ben Cheresh, but I don't remember. Well, that you could look it up. But what it says over there is Hevi Markim Mishlem Kolodom. Right. Okay. You be the first. Okay? All right. So, as I said, the difference between the two lishnos, in other words, the two opinions, one is makes it voluntary, and the second one would make it almost obligatory, you know, to use God's name in greeting somebody. Okay? The Yonaname says, Kishali na hoderi matchin the shame. And he says, you know what? Very interesting comment over here. He says, you know, when we say the word, let me finish the next couple of words and see what he's saying over there. Right? Okay. So, what he's saying is, How do we say hello in Hebrew? We say shalom, right?
Right.
But you know what he says? The name shalom is a divine name. Because we find the pasuk in Shoftim where they dedicate this Beach over there, and you know what it says over there? It says, Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom, right? And he called it God is Shalom.
Shalom.
Right. Shem Hashem, right? For the name of God. So in other words, we're actually greeting somebody with God's name when we say to that person Shalom, because implicit in the idea of Shalom is actually God himself. Yeah. Because he is the God of Shalom, right?
Yes,
it's an interesting fetch. Right.
Yeah, fetch it.
Right. Then the one that I didn't explain yet is Havos Maaser, the third use, right? Yeah. The bringing of Maaser. Now what is the Inyan over here? It's Gemara in Yevamos that says as follows. It says the Ezra HaSofer Kansinhu LaLevim Lefi Shalei Olovimo. He says according to the law of the Torah, who gets Maaser Rishon? The answer is as the Levi gets it. Okay? The Kohen doesn't get it. Instead, of course, what does the Levi have to do? He has to take Maaser from his Maaser and give it to the Kohen, right? This is what we call Truman's Maaser, okay? Yeah. So, it says, Ezra HaSofer decided to penalize the Levium because they weren't too anxious to leave Babel. They preferred to stay behind in Babel and not come to Eretz Israel. So what did he do in order to penalize them? Of course, he's quoting Gemara and Yevamos. So he says, with Tziva, he commanded Lohavi Kol HaMaisrus El Lishkat Beis Hashem. He commanded that people should bring all their tithes to a room in the house of the Lord. Right? In other words, a room in the temple. And as a result, Kohanim and Levim had an equal right to Maaser Rishon from this point on. Okay? Kiddush Tziv Ezra, is this written in Ezra? Actually, it's in the book of Nehemiah, but you know Ezra and Nehemiah is considered one book. Kohen ben Aaron im Halviyim. Namely, that the Kohen, who is the descendant of Aaron, is to share together with the Levites. The Maaser HaLevim, right? The Gam Chizkiyahu, and even prior to that, King Chizkiyahu also kemochein. He did likewise. Heichen Lishochos, he prepared chambers, the Havi called Hamatzvus Bahem, in which to bring all the various tithes. Kidei Shelo Yikablum HaLevim, so that the Levim should not take them, should not receive them, Shoyu Akim. Those Levites who were serving Avodah Zarah. Because remember, in the days of the first temple, a lot of Jews were guilty of serving Avodah Zarah, and that would include also members of the so-called clergy, you know, that they were serving Avodah Zarah instead of serving the pure worship of Hashem. Okay? So this is the reason why Chizkiyahu also provided chambers in the temple, and what happened then? Kiritzir b'divrei yom, this is written in divrei yom, it says, Vayomer Chizkiyahu, lohochin lishochis v'veis Hashem. Right, he said, let them prepare chambers in the house of God. Vayochinu, vayovinu satruma, v'yes ha-maisa. And they prepared them, and people brought the Trumor and the Maaser, right? The Esa Maaser, right? The Gam Hu Tikein Lahalis Yerushalayim. And Chizkiyahu made also another ruling, namely that the Maaser should be also the Halis Yerushalayim to bring up to Yerushalayim, Yerek, right? Maaser Yerek, Maaser Elon. The Torah itself says that Maaser is to come, you know, from Dagon, Tirosh, Yitzhar, which means, you know, from grain, from oil, from wine. These are the things that you have to give Maaser from, right? But he extended it to say that even vegetables and even fruits of the tree, also you take Maisa from them and bring them to Yerushalayim. Okay? And the Forish Benadorim, and the Gemara says Benadorim explains, my bechetrots. What does it mean? Oh, yeah, well, I skipped a line over there. All right. As it's written, v'chifrotz hadavar, right? And when this literally broke out, in other words, when this decree was published, so here b'nei Yisrael reishis dogon v'sirah shu'yitzar. So the children of Israel brought a great quantity of the first of their corn, their wine, and oil. Mufarish b'dorim, my kifrotz. What does it mean when it broke out? He says, oh, in other words, the grain, the wine, and the oil, this already was ordained in the Torah. And so they explain it as meaning the addition also of Maser Yerek, of Maser Ilan, right? In other words, have to bring also Maser from vegetables and from fruits. Of course, this is the law in Eretz Israel today. That they tied them also. And it's written also in the prophets that the Kohamaluhu Novim Israel, that when the prophet said unto the people of Israel, in other words, bring all Miser to the temple storehouse, right? And test me. So Almo de Hissin. So we see that he agreed, right? Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. The first Maaser was always for the Levim.
Plus the God of Levim.
Always,
right.
in all 6 years. Now,
right.
With Ezra's ruling, what happened to the Levim that lived in the outskirts of the country, some that lived in the Galilee? How was he going to share him? Did he also have to come all the way to Jerusalem?
He would have to come to the temple to collect, according to Ezra's edict. But you know, when Ezra built the Beis HaMikdash,
everybody was just located
the Jewish community was small at that time. There were only about 40,000 people who came back from Babylonia, and they lived more or less, mostly in the area around Jerusalem. But as it expanded, naturally, it created a different situation. All right. But at any rate, from the words of the prophet, we see that the Bnei Shalem agreed, that the ordinance to increase Maaser and so on, and also to have Kohanim share, and said, that this was also agreed to. Okay. And then, of course, we also had, before, Yomer Hashem Imcho Gibor Achayil, that the Malach said to Gidon, God is with you, O mighty warrior. Right? So we see that he agreed. So far we see that in all three cases, there's agreement, right? That what the Beis Din down below had ordained, so the Beis Din upstairs agreed with it. Right. All right. I want to go down to at least two more dots. So we'll do a few more lines and we'll call it a night tonight. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Om Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Begimel Bekaymes. Yeah. You see where we are? Right. It says, Begimel Bekaymes, Refia Racha Kodesh, Bevesdino Shel Shem, Bevesdino Shel Shmuel, or Mosi, Bevesdino Shel Shreel Shlomi. He says, we have in the Torah three cases where the Holy Spirit appeared in a Beis Din. The first is the Beis Din of Shem, as it is written, Vayakir Yehuda Vayomit Sotkum Emeni, that, Yehuda recognized the fact that he was wrong, and he said, concerning, of course, Tamar, she said that she is more righteous than I am, right? How did he know? Maybe, in other words, she was pregnant by another guy, not Yehuda. So, Dimo, Gehechido Ozal Yehuda Gabo. Ozal Nama Inashakvina, that just as he had had relations with her, so maybe some other guy had had relations with her. So Yotzos Baskol, then a Baskol came out, the Omron, and said, Mimeni, in other words, Tzotko, she was right, and the Baskol says, Mimeni, I decree that this is so, that this is correct. Yotzu Kivushim, in other words, hidden things are revealed by, you know, they're known by the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he knows that she was right. Okay? A couple of moments. I'll tell you, I'd like to call a halt at this time. My voice is very tired. So, at this rate, we're on Chof Gimel Amud Beis, going down the home stretch. But we'll start, you know, from the next case, Pevezdino Shel Shmuel, okay?
Right,
which is roughly about 10 lines from the bottom over there, okay? All right, so at this...
We don't have time to do one,
so it's,
one Rashi down at the bottom where he speaks about Bezdin Shel Shem, okay?
What page is it?
This is right at the bottom of Kof Gimel
Amud
Beis, right. The second long line over there, you see, begins with the word Hofia.
Yeah,
says, so first of all, Rashi explains, what does the word Hofia mean? Hofia, he says, means Nigla. The Rebbeinu Shalom, or the Ruach the HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, revealed itself. V'hochiach b'shas ha-tzorach. And it showed its approval, this is how Rashi understands it, at this necessary moment. And then he gives, first of all, our French word. He says, voilà, is probier, which is, you know, like to approve in English. You understand? Kaf Shemat, he says, this is how I understand. Lo shenachmino. He says, another interpretation is, Hofia means nishma b'kol gadol, that a great, a loud voice was heard at that particular point. Okay. So, at any rate, what we see is that, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh approved of what the earthly court had done. Now Rashi continues, and he says, "V'bez dino shel shem." He makes the following following comment. He says, "Lo hayo shem chai b'yosheshah." Says Shem was not alive at that particular moment. Sheharei Mace, because he was already dead at this particular point in history, right? Ela Bezdin shall acharav nibono v'talmidav, but rather this Bezdin is of those who followed him among his children and among his disciples. The Kori lo Bezdin shall Shem, and they called it the Bezdin shall Shem kemo Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. After all, we speak about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Well, obviously, it means the disciples of Shammai, disciples of Hillel. And even after Hillel and Shammai are no longer in this world, but in the Emesavelt in Gan Eden, so at this particular point, still the schools continued because each one had their own particular shittas, we would say, right, their own particular way of, you know, interpreting Torah. And so therefore, the schools are named after them. All right. Now that was the first case that said the Beis Din shall Shmuel shall Shem.
Well, how did the base, how did the God or how did the heavenly
how did it interfere? Okay. Remember, Yehuda says Tzadka Mimeni, right? Okay. So if we take it literally, as we have. Then Tzadka Mimeni means that she was more righteous than I am, because after all, she did it l'shem mitzvah, you know.
Right.
She wanted to have a child, you know, in order to carry on, and he had kept on refusing.
He was entitled to it.
Right, he kept on refusing. Well, I mean, according to the later law of the Torah, the Yavon is only a brother to the dead one, right? But if you remember, she was married to a brother of Yehuda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brother died. He was a bad guy. Next brother, also. Okay? So, as a result,
Yehuda didn't want her to be permitted to marry anyone, and he stalled her, because he said, you know, if you wait around, you know, quite a few years, and then my son Shelah, who's the youngest, you'll grow up, and so she saw, you know, that she would never be able to do it, and she wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibun and to have a child in order to bear the dead husband's name. So she did what she did. In other words, she disguised herself, as we said, you know, like a prostitute. And Yehuda went, and he had relations with her, right? So, as a result, she became pregnant. So what do we find out? When he says, and then, you know, that the great tzaddik Yehuda says, you know, oh, she's pregnant. Obviously, she did it as a result of zinudim, you know, in other words, through adultery, through zinus, whatever you want to call it. And he says, hotziyuha v'tzisorev, take her out and let her be burnt. Rather cruel. And that's at that particular point that she said, you know, right, but she didn't say, you are the father. All that she said is that for a person, you know, is a certain man who made me pregnant, and he left me these things, you know, a string and so on. Also, the Gedeon is not around anymore, okay? But you know, the matah and the psilim, the thread, or the girdle, I guess, whatever it was, that it was. Later on, they use the word psilim for tzitzis. But I don't know whether Yehuda was wearing tzitzis at that particular point. Yeah. But at any rate, so at that particular point, he says, Sotka Mimeni, she is more righteous than I am, because he realized, you know, that she had acted in righteousness. But the point that they're making over here is that at the moment when they wanted to take her out to be burnt, you know, as her punishment, so at that point, you know, the heavenly voice said to Yehuda, Sotka, she is righteous. In other words, she did what was absolutely right. She has not had any relations with any other person, only with you. And Mimeni, Mimeni in the sense of, and I know because Mimeni Yotzu Kibushim. In other words, I know what secret things there are, and I know exactly what you know what the real story is, and so therefore this is why they quote that to say that, you know, the Bat Kol intervened on her behalf in the Beis Din Shel Shem.
In other words, he was forced to confess.
Yes.
By the
right, and the life, of course, was saved as a result. But the point is that the heavenly court affirmed the fact that she was righteous and he was wrong. Okay. Now the next one that they speak about is Bevezdino Shoshmel. That's after the two dots over there in the Gemara, right? Dixiv. What is the story over there? So he says, Shmuel says to the people, I don't know if you remember the circumstances. Circumstances were that the people were clamoring for a king, right? People wanted a king. They said, Shmuel, you're already old. Your sons, they're not the right leaders, and so on and so forth. They don't have the same personality that you have, so that, you know, they're not for us. We want to be like all other peoples. The other peoples have kings, we want a king also. So, Shmuel is very disappointed, of course, in their answer, because, first of all, he points out all the horrors of what a king means, because a king is an absolute monarch, and whatever his will is, this is what has to be obeyed. If he wants to make you into slaves, that's his privilege. If he wants to take you to the army, draft you, and send you to the front, that's his privilege, and so on and so forth. King can do whatever he wants. But the people said, no, we want. Okay. So Shmuel calls the people together at Gilgal, and they're, you know, in preparation of anointing King Saul as the first king of Israel. So he gives a little bit of accounting for a few moments of his own stewardship, so to speak, okay? And what does he say to them? So he says to them, Hinani, here I am, Anubi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Testify against me. Neged Hashem and neged Mashiach, in the presence of God and in the presence of his anointed. Of course, the anointed is King Saul, right? Eshor mi lo kachti. Tell me, whose ox have I ever taken? Did I ever take an ox from somebody? Vachamor mi lo kachti, and so on. Did I ever take a donkey from anybody, and so on? And es mi oshakti, did I ever oppress anyone? Es mi ratzosi, did I ever rob anyone, and so on and so forth? And then it says vayomru, so they said lo ashaktonu v'lo ratzosanu. You did neither oppress us nor did you, let's say, tyrannize over us. Okay? Vayomer, and then the pasuk says, right? And he said unto them, okay? Take a look at the reading on the side over there, right? It says, Vayomer aleihem, he said to them, Eidad Hashem bochem, right? The Lord is a witness concerning what you have said, right? V'yed mishicho hayom hazeh, and also his anointed one is also witness today, right? Ki lo mitzosem biyodi me'uma, that you did not find anything in my hand which, you know, I had no business, you know, possessing, right? And then here is the crucial word. It's written, Vayomer Eid, literally, and he said, witness. In other words, we are witness. Okay? So the Gemara says, you know, to say, you know, that in the Bez Dino Shel Shmuel, you know, the you had a bas kol, says, the Ruach HaKodesh, right? So it says, Vayomer, it says, Vayomer Meboile. Why does it say Vayomer? Correctly, it should say Vayomru, and they said. Why does it say Vayomer in the singular? So the answer is, Yotza bas kol, a bas kol came, the Omer, and she said, Ani eid badovar, right? Ani eid badovar hazeh. I am a witness as far as this matter is concerned. So in other words, why does it say Vayomer? Because the Vayomer is the bas kol representing Hashem. Okay? Otherwise, if the representative, the answer of the people, would have said, Vayomru, and they said. Mm-hmm. All right, and the third case we said was Beveiz Dino Shel Shlomo, right? And the Beis Din of Shlomo. Ditziv, and this, of course, the very famous case where the two women came to Shlomo for judgment, you know, arguing about baby. Whose baby it was, right? Whose baby was the living baby, and whose baby was the baby that had, that was born dead, right? Or actually the baby died because the mother smothered it in sleep, So what's written over there? The pasuk says over there, Vayan HaMelech, and the king answered Vayomer, and he said, Tenu lo es hayelet hachai, right, give her the living child, the homeis lo samisuhu, and do not kill him, right? He emo, because she is his mother. Of course, by, you know, don't kill him. This is, you know, remember the other woman said, you know, let's go happy happy, right?
Yeah.
Half for you, half for me, right? Cut the baby in half, okay? It says don't kill him because she is his mother. So the Gemara says, Mino Yoda, how did Shlomo know really that she was the real mother? Dilma Yaruma Miarma, maybe you know, she was really very, what shall we say, very smart, you know, like, it's the same word, you know, that we have concerning the serpent in Gan Eden, if you remember. Over there it's written also that the Hanocha Shoya Arum, right, was slyer than, you know, any of the other creatures, right? So this is what it is. Maybe she was very sly, very cunning, you see. This is really the translation that we have to give it over here. Maybe she was very cunning, you know, very sly. She knew how to manipulate, right? So, how do we know that this wasn't the case? Yosef's bas kol, the bas kol came out, the Yomro, and she said, he imo. In other words, the bas kol said, she is his mother. So far, so good. But now we're going to have somebody who doubts. Mela, title to have doubts too sometimes, right?
one of the doubts. So Amar Rava, Rava says, he says, Bimai, how do I know that it was a bas kol that came along and pronounced all these judgments? Dilma Yehuda, maybe for example in the case of Yehuda, Kaven Lechoshev Yarche the Yoyme, the Yisrame, inasmuch, he started in to calculate how many months ago, how many days ago was it, I had slept with her, right? The Yisrame, and he figured out, right, it was correct. So in that particular case, maybe that's the reason why he says simply stop called the many, because he figured out, by calculation, that he was probably the father. He had to be the father. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Dechazinan mechatzkinan, delo chazinan lo machzikan." In other words, those things that we can see, we can accept, and those things that we cannot see, we don't accept. In other words, this is Rava's reasoning, right? He says, why should I accept on faith, there was a bas kol? Maybe, look, if something is obvious, like, for example, you can count how many months and how many days, so in that particular case, we accept that the sun could be many. This is something we can accept. But to go to accept the fact that a bas kol came and said, Sotka, she is right, the many, and I am the one who tells you that, I give my assent. It's already, according to Rava,
reaching.
It's stretching it. Okay. Shmuel? Yeah, how about the business with Shmuel? So he says, Nami, same thing. He says, Kuhu Yisrael, Kori Lehu, Lashon Yechidi. He says, it is possible to have a singular verb. Because if we're talking about the entire Jewish people, then in that case, they may be referred to in the singular as well as in the plural. So you're arguing that it doesn't say Vayomer, but it says Vayomer. He says, I'll show you another pasuk. Nichsiv, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, Yisrael Noisha Bal Hashem, right? Israel has been saved, or is... By God. There's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the prophet over there, if you take a look at the pasuk, says Yisrael Neshav Hashem Teshua Seilomim, right? Leisikolmo and so on, Leisibosha Adolmeyat. Okay. So in other words, he is actually addressing the people of Israel, and he says, O Israel, you who have been saved, Nosha Ba'ashem, and so on, right? So do not be ashamed, do not be confounded, and so on and so forth. Okay? Because God's salvation is eternal. So that therefore he refers to the people of Israel, Yisrael, as no shot. You who have been saved instead of Yisrael, no shayim batshe. Okay? So, in other words, according to Rava, the fact that it says Vayomer could be only because all the people were there, they addressed, with one. Of course, we have another verse that they didn't quote over here, but you can, yes.
Here is the nation is saved, and that's very clear.
Right. No, in the case of Shmuel, it was the nation who were gathered there in Gilgal.
Yeah, but when you have a lot of people talking,
right,
plus, then you should have a plural verb. Whereas
when
talking about the nation is saved,
yeah,
it's a different thing.
All right. So you don't like what? Well, you don't like Rava's interpretation. Vayomru.
If it said
it
there, then that would be pretty
powerful. Vayanu kolom yachdo. That's what's written over there. Okay? So that's in the plural. However, since we're talking about that, remember that famous passage just before Matan Torah, where it's written Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hohor? Everything before it is in the plural. Vayisum Yifidim, right? Vayobo, etc., etc. Everything's in the plural. And then it says, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Negadoha, which is, of course, in the singular. But needless to say, it's excellent material, for a medrash. Medrash points out the fact that until that particular point, the Jewish people were full of complaints and arguments and quarrels one with another and so on. But when it came to Matan Torah, then they became, like Lev Echad, like with one heart, right? At times we can say then that definitely sometimes a verb is in the singular even though the subject is really plural. So this is Grover's contention at any rate, okay? And we have one more case. What was the third case? Shloime, right? What about him? Says Name, Midaho ko merach masor, Midaho lo ko merach masor, right? Shlomo could have figured out, he says, who was the real mother, because in the case of one, she had rachmonis, merach masor, right? And the other one didn't have any rachmonis. So that, therefore, this is how he was able to figure out with his own intelligence that that's the case, right? So that, therefore, Rava denies it. But Rava comes and he says, but I'll tell you what. I'll accept your story about the Bat Kol. Why? Hello, your Gemara. It's a tradition. And if it's a tradition, it's a tradition. Okay.
Tradition.
Right.
And then a break of the song.
Yeah, tradition. Okay. So, when you have Ela Gemara, it means, but you know, this is what the tradition is, and so, okay.
He accepts it.
He accepts it, right. All right, now that's we fun. Come to a very famous section over here with the Gemara. We'll start it tonight. We'll save up a little bit for those of you who came a little bit later. You know, we want to make a Siyum. Originally, I'd hoped to make the Siyum next week. But, you know, immediately after we had our last session last week, so I spoke to the rabbi the following morning, and he says, put it off for a week. Because he says, the Brotherhood is having a dinner Tuesday night, then they're having the guest speaker on Friday night, and Shabbos, you know, serving meals and so on. So that, it'll have more impact, I guess. Or maybe we won't be so tired of eating the chicken. So we'll have it 2 weeks from tonight in Yotz Hashem. Of course, we'll have to talk to Janie and try to get some reservations for the affair. Okay.
Yes, Ham.
Yeah.
Going.
Right. So next week I may leave. I'll probably leave her a little bit, but as I said, I may also start actually the Gemara Sefer next week. And we'll see how it works out, okay? But
so
in the meantime, right, maybe we should call New York and find out.
I'm fine. I have the catalog at home.
Okay, good. All right.
If not, under any circumstance, we'll have to get the individual Gemara or something.
Right.
Them
okay,
home.
Fine. All right. What they're commenting at this particular point is really the last part of the Mishnah which we have on the top of the page, okay?
Yeah.
Where it says, Rabbi Hanan ibn Akasha Omer, right? Rabbi Hanan ibn Akasha says, Rotzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael, you know, that's at roughly about 7-8 lines from the top, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
It says the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to give the Jewish people special merit. So lefichach hibah lehem Torah mitzvahs. This is the reason why He gave them so many, so much Torah and so many commandments. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem chofes man sidko yadu Torah v'yadir. That the Lord desired for His own righteous sake to make the Torah great and mighty. Okay, so right now we come to the idea that, you know, we have so many mitzvahs, right? So Dorash Rabbi Simlai, that's the fourth line from the bottom, Rabbi Simlai gave the following drasha. Okay, and what did he say? He said Sheish Meyos V'Shlosh Esrei Mitzvahs Namu Leilu Moshe. He says Moshe Rabbeinu received from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam 613 mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs given to Moshe, you know, by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Shloish Meyos V'Shishim V'Chomesh Lavin. There are 365 negative mitzvahs. Kiminyan Yimei Sachamo, just as we have days in the year. U'Masayim V'Avoyim Mishmoyne Asor, and 248 also he gave
literally it says he made, but you know, he gave us these following you know, affirmative commandments, keneged evor shel odom. This is corresponding to the number of limbs that we have in a human being. Now, when it says limbs over here, I have to explain. What it means is, it's bones that are covered with flesh. So, not the teeth. That's not counted, okay. But in general, an experiment was made, and I'll have to tell you, I mean, that they were great masters of anatomy, our sages. Started to study the Gemara Cholin, for example, Zvelfinston the Yegen, I mean, about all the manifestations, you know, the anatomy of a cow or a sheep or a goat and so on, to figure out, you know, what to look for in trephus. You have to be able to identify, let's say, the lungs, the appearance of the lungs, to see if there's any hole in the lungs, if there's something over it, you know, a growth over it. Very, very complicated, but obviously they made a very deep study of it. So somebody made a study of human anatomy, and they discovered that the bones in the body came to 248. So obviously the 365, this we all know, because we always say how many days in the year, 365, right? And 248, which represent the bones in the human body. So, of course, obviously, again, it lends itself to a drash. Namely, 365 days. Every day in the year, right, there is some temptation that might come our way, and we receive the mitzvah by abstaining from that temptation. So that's the lavin, okay? And as far as the affirmative, well, remember that we have... David HaMelech, who said in Tilim, he said, "Kolatz boisai, tomar nad Hashem yichamocha." Right, every one of my bones, literally. Okay, say unto the Lord, "Who is like unto thee?" So that, therefore, in following the affirmative commandments, we affirm with our entire body our belief and the fact that what we want to do is to do that which is right in the sight of the Rebbeinu Shemitah. Okay, at the bottom over there, last line, if you see Shasa, of course that means 365, right, mitzvahs, lo saseh, right, 365 negative commandments, shebechol yom, every day, mashir molov shelo lavo, every day we are warned, we are told, you know, do not transgress these commandments. Okay, so at any rate, we see the statement of Rabbi Bissimlai, who says, you know, that we have 613 commandments, right? So along came Omer Rav Hamnuna, and he says, "Mike Raw, give me a pasuk that shows it." Okay? What is the pasuk in the Torah that, you know, confirms the fact that we have 613? By the way, I have to tell you, you know, we have the classic number of mitzvahs. The one particularly which is accepted by almost everyone is the Rambam's. And that also formed the basis of many other collections that we have of what are the 613 commandments. We find that occasionally there is disagreement. The Ravid and the Ramban disagree with Maimonides on certain points here or there and so on. But even if they disagree, they still come back with 613 of their own. I mean, obviously, the bulk of the mitzvahs, everybody agrees that these are mitzvahs, okay? But, for example, there is a question about whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to go and to settle in Israel, okay? The Rambam felt it was praiseworthy, but it was not a mitzvah. Didn't feel that the Torah commanded us to go and live in Eretz Yisrael, okay? But the Ramban disagreed vehemently, and he said it is a mitzvah, because the pasuk says v'horashtem es ha'oretz, right? That you are to inherit this land, v'yishavtem bo, and you are to dwell within it. So that therefore he says it is actually a mitzvah to go and to live in Eretz Yisrael. So
So that's one of the famous points of disagreement between the Rambam and the Ramban in the count. But they don't disagree that there are 613. It's only that here and there there may be a difference of opinion as to whether this particular one is a separate mitzvah by itself or it's not a separate mitzvah by itself. Okay. You find in the old-fashioned Chumashim, for example, that they have lists before every seder, that in this